What's incredible is you don't have to be worthy to worship. But through worship, you can become worthy. I've been with thousands of people who have been filled with the Holy Ghost over the years. Some of them were baptized and living a holy life, but the majority of them, they didn't even know God a week before or even earlier that day. But they started worshiping God, and God couldn't resist. The first person that Jesus spoke to about worship was a woman who was married 6 times and divorced and now was living with someone. Why would you reveal this awesome revelation to her? Why not somebody who has been living the life all of their life? So would you turn to John, the 4th chapter? Verse 19. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. We worship Jesus. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is looking for somebody. Not only Sunday mornings, but on Mondays and Tuesdays. He's looking for someone to worship him in the middle of the night. As soon as they open their eyes, God's looking for somebody to say, I love you, Jesus. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That word worship is defined in the Greek in a way that I guess I never thought about it. At about 5:30 in the morning, I've got a 200-pound dog that makes his way to my side of the bed, and she has this enormous tongue. And the first thing she does is lick my face, saying, you know, you ought to get up. And if that doesn't work, she goes on the other side of the bed and works on my wife. And here's what the word worship says in the Greek. Meaning to kiss like a dog licking its master's hand. Prostrate oneself in homage, do reverence, and adore. Before eating, before anything else, here comes this great big girl to my side of the bed. And is it a perfect picture of what God is saying? First thing, God is so in love with us, folks. So in love with us. And the only fulfillment God has is when we say, Jesus, I'm opening my eyes this morning, and I love you. Lord, we ask your blessing, your touch on your word this morning, that you would bless it, that you would anoint it, that you'd touch it, make it alive. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Would you turn to Matthew 21? Verse number 8. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, others cutting down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all of the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto him, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it into a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. You see, when all is right, when the focus is right, all of a sudden God moves in and does things that we could never do. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? Jesus saith unto him, Yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfect praise? See, when we do what's right, that word in that scripture, have you not heard that the house of the Lord shall be a house of prayer? That word prayer is not meant petitions. It means worship. So the house that has been built is for one purpose and one purpose only, and that's for worshiping. In the process, God answers prayer. He does the miracles. But the house was built for worship. I've seen warehouses that were places of worship. And I've seen beautiful cathedrals that had no worship in them at all. But when God sees you, he sees a house of worship. It's what we were meant to be. It was a custom of that day to spread flowers, branches, garments in the path of great conquerors and princes who returned with victory over the battle. These garments and these branches were regarded as tokens of joy and triumph. Kings were welcomed by waving palms and branches in the air, and with shouts of joy because of the victory and the peace that came with the victory. See, we're all going to go through battles, but the real joy comes when we get the peace over the battle. And you see, if you don't realize what our God has done for us, you couldn't possibly worship him in the fashion that he requires you to worship him. If you don't see him high and lifted up with his train or victories you know, filling the temple. How many times has God given you victory over something in your life? So forever we need to worship him. Would you turn to Hebrews? You'll turn to Hebrews, the ninth chapter. Hebrews 9 and 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That's what we heard this morning. It's coming. You see, and we should be rejoicing. I'm not going to be judged. He's coming back for me, folks. And then Hebrews 10 and verse number 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifice which can never take away our sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. We have to recognize that we can't save ourselves. We have to recognize that we have a Savior. And when we understand that, then it's easy for us to worship. Galatians, the third chapter, please. Galatians 3 and 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So you have to recognize that we could not have kept the law. We could not be saved because of the law, but he ended the curse of the law. When we realize what God has done for us, it doesn't take much to be able to worship him. You can see why the scribes were so angry when they saw the people giving attention to Jesus. The perfect church service is honoring a conquering king. Thank you, Jesus, for taking my sins. Celebrating the victory, the perfect church service, making a joyful noise before the king, taking off the garments of flesh and laying them at his feet, saying, God, take this from me. I don't want to have these feelings any longer. And usher in the peace that passes all understanding. Jesus said, have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfect praise? I love what happens with the new converts. They come in and they're just ready to worship, give God everything. They're not analyzing anything. They're not saying, come on, explain this to me. No, God has filled this house with his spirit, and now I have become a house of worship. Don't you just love the way they worship? So pure, so unrestricted, full of joy, full of faith for the impossible. If you really want to have a miracle, you know what? Just ask somebody that just received the Holy Ghost, because they have no doubt in their mind that God can do this, whereas some who have been living for God for 40 years now have a little bit of doubt because some things that they've asked for didn't happen. But that's not true with a new convert. Not that the new convert doesn't have any problems. Perfect praise is what sustains us during the trials of life. during perfect praise, when we lay down the flesh, God then gives us a vision of heaven and victory that is just ahead for us. When we feel the awesome Shekinah glory of God, we know, okay, God, you know what's going on in my life, and I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to try to manipulate or maneuver anything, but God, you can take care of this because I have confidence in what I'm feeling right now. Take a look at Exodus chapter 4, please. Exodus chapter 4, and starting in verse number 1. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord hath not appeared unto thee.' And the Lord said unto him, 'What is that in thine hand?' And he said, 'A rod.' And he said, 'Cast it on the ground.' And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled or ran from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Put thine hand and take it by the tail.' And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand." Now, most of the miracles that Moses did were with this rod. God told Moses to cast down that which was his strength, his protection, and that which he was afraid of then became his strength. Some of the things that we're so afraid of, that God does a miracle with it, whether it's sickness or finances or relationships, when we've picked it up, not the way we would, because the worst place to pick up a snake is by the tail, you know. But okay, God, I don't understand what's going on here, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to worship you anyway, and now it becomes the strength. Yeah, if you don't bow down, you three guys are going to be thrown in the furnace, okay? I know our God can deliver us, but if not, you know? So when they walked out of the furnace, not even smelling like smoke, what became their strength? You think they talked about it a few times after that? Hey, you know what? I've been in this furnace, and do you think Peter, who was afraid to walk on the water, but then walked on the water, did he have a testimony? It became his strength when he did it the way God wanted him to do it. I believe with all of my heart that it was the worship on Palm Sunday that sustained our God during his trial, during his suffering, during the death on the cross. And because God is not limited to a dimension of time, could it be that our worship this morning also sustained him? 2,000 years ago, he saw you waving a palm this morning. We're celebrating his victory in his life. We are welcoming the King and Prince of Peace, who enters into our life, enters into our life with victory. Jerusalem means city of peace. The palm branch is it's a symbol of peace. And the only way we can have real peace in our lives is to welcome the peacemaker into our lives. And the easiest way to welcome the peacemaker into our lives is to worship him and take off the garments of flesh, take off trouble, anxiety, conflict, worry. Take it off like a garment and put on the garments of praise and worship. And the King of Peace will give you peace, and he will give you victory. You see, I believe that more victory comes in worship than anything else. You can beg God for things, you can fast, and all of those things are good. You can pray, but I believe that there's more victory that comes in worship than anything else. And if he doesn't give the end of the conflict, he'll allow you to have peace in the middle of it. Amen. One of my favorite verses, Philippians 4 and 6. Start in verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, what Paul is saying here is, I've got the formula. No matter what's going on, this is a good day, rejoice in the Lord. This is a bad day, rejoice in the Lord. I'm getting to the end of my life, rejoice in the Lord. I'm a brand new convert, rejoice in the Lord. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. That word prayer is worship. And supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So you see that worship or rejoicing in God keeps our minds and gives us peace on Jesus. I will not die in my dilemma. Some of you have gone through sickness for a long, long time, you know, and it gets to a place where you can get a little discouraged. But you will not die in your dilemma if you can still worship him. Now, the scribes were upset that these people made such a display of themselves for God. And I can't tell you how many people have come in, been in this kind of atmosphere. They just proclaim that it's not necessary, but it is necessary. They want it to be their way. That's what the Pharisees, they wanted it their way. They wanted it quiet. They wanted it traditional. They wanted it controlled. Everything needs to be in order and controlled in every service, but nothing ever happened their way. So it's with formal religion. They want to control when you stand and when you sit and what you read and what you do, but nothing ever happens. But when we get to the place where we take off of those restrictions of limiting how we worship God, then something always happens to us. I don't know of anybody who's ever received the Holy Ghost if they weren't worshiping God. Some are demonstrative. Some are quiet, but even in their quietness, they were worshiping God. Hallelujah. In 2 Samuel 6, the ark of the Lord was recovered from the enemy, and priests put the ark on a new cart and pulled it by an oxen. They were going to bring it into Jerusalem. Oh, they played music before it, harps and cymbals and psalteries and cornets. Man, they did all of those things that they thought would allow them to bring the presence of God into Jerusalem, but they didn't do it the way God's word said. There's a lot of things that go on in churches every Sunday, but they don't do it the way God wants them to do it. You know the rest, the ark became unsteady, and Uzzah put his hand up to steady it, and the Lord was angered and smote him. In 2 Samuel 2 and 9, it says, and David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? The question should be on a Palm Sunday, how am I going to get God in my life? Am I going to do it based on the traditions of men? Am I going to do it because of what a religion says? Or am I going to do it according to what the Word of God says? And there are many, many examples of how not only the Ark of the Covenant came, but how people were filled with the Holy Ghost. How shall the Spirit of Almighty God come to me? It's not just because we love God or because you love the preaching or you love to come to church or you love the music. It's not enough. Every one of us is responsible for bringing in the Holy Ghost into our service. Every one of us. there's a reason why it says, and on the day of Pentecost, they were all in one mind and one place. And then, suddenly. So what we're doing in worship service is we're trying to get everybody on the same page. Everybody wants to usher in the presence of God. And sometimes there could be just a handful of people who prevent that from happening. Turn to 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, please. Starting in verse number 12. And it was told David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. Now, we could spend a whole hour just on this scripture. When the power of God is with you, everything that you do is blessed. Obed-Edom, man, everything was working fine, and everybody knew it. David said, you know what? We ought to bring that to Jerusalem. We ought to bring that. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces or 18 steps, he sacrificed oxen and fatling. And David danced before the Lord with all of his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all of the house of Israel brought up the ark, and all, it says, and all of the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through the window and saw David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Same thing happened on Palm Sunday. Same thing happened. Verse number 20, then David returned to bless the household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids and the servants, and as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered himself." You know, you don't understand your position. You don't understand that you need to be a little more reserved here. People look to you for direction. Well, that's exactly what he did. Hallelujah. Verse 21, and David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than this." And the word vile means excited, exuberant. Wait until tomorrow. You think this was bad? Me leaping and shouting. "I'll be more vile than thus and be base in mine own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor." Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. Amen. Oh, I love God so much, but I'm never going to demonstrate. Well, then when you need something from God, this is literally a step-by-step instruction on bringing the Holy Ghost into our services and into our lives, and to bring peace and victory into our life when nothing else can. It's sacrifice. They gave the oxen that was once carrying the ark. They were prize oxen. They were very valuable. But the first thing they did is they sacrificed that which had great value. It said, David and all of the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. They stopped every 18 feet and waited on God to move. Hallelujah. This is our program. We can't be stopped. We can't be interrupted by tongues and interpretation. We can't be interrupted because somebody needs the Holy Ghost. No, we can do this and we can make time for God. If God is knocking on the door, if he doesn't want preaching this morning or tonight, that's okay. David took off of his robes and danced before the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Brother Coffey was telling me this morning on the way to church, he said, you know what today is? And the kid said, Easter Sunday? No, Palm Sunday. Well, I don't know what that is. So he said, well, when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, they cut down branches and they took clothes off. And his one son said, I'm not taking my clothes off, Dad. And I'm grateful for that. But we got to get to the place where we recognize, you know what? I am nobody. And he is everything. It said they put the ark in its place in the midst of the tabernacle, and David declared today was not enough. Not enough. We got the Holy Ghost here. Now we can go back to our traditional having church. No. Tomorrow, it's going to get better. And the next day, I'm going to become a little more excited and more excited. I anticipate a greater worship service because I am nothing and he's everything. Someday, we will have a triumphant entry into Jerusalem. We're going to step over the threshold. And there isn't going to be a person there that wants to be quiet. Amen. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 4. Verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door, a portal, was opened in heaven. And the voice, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look like a jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow around about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. There's going to be a day where God's going to open up the window. I saw something on the internet this week that they found the first black hole. Einstein knew that it existed, but they actually have a picture of a black hole. Could it be that there's going to be a trumpet that's going to sound like it's talking to us? That says, church, we're ready. He's going to take us up through a porthole. If it's a black hole, I don't know, but we're on our way to heaven, and I'm so glad. Glory to God. Revelation 19 and 5. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come and his wife made herself ready. When Solomon wanted a wife, there were ladies who came from all over the land. It was called the House of Women. And they all wanted to be the bride. And the thing was that they could ask for any kind of adornment that they wanted. Any kind. But there was only one. There was only one. And she didn't want any adornment. She just wanted to love the king. That's us, folks. That's us, folks. We don't need anything else to adorn us except our worship. Hallelujah. It was the custom of the day to do all of these things. It was the custom of the day. But it's the custom today to worship God with everything we have. Because my house shall be called the house of worship. We have access to heaven through our hands, through our mouth, through our thoughts. And we can stand before his presence, whether it's in a church service like this, or whether it's in our car, or in a shopping mall, or at work, because the Father seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. Would you stand with me, please? Here's what I have recognized over the years. I've seen people come in and worship God and get filled with the Holy Ghost. And they almost feel like, okay, that was a great experience. Now, what do you want me to do? I need a ministry within the church. I need a teaching ministry. I need an usher ministry. I need a prison ministry. I need a Bible study ministry. If you'll just let me clean the church, it'll be fine. Could I get you water, Pastor? All of that, thank God for people who want to do that. But that is not a substitute for worship. This is not a house of work. Although, as you look around, there's so much labor and sacrifice that went into this building. But even though, you know, I put hours and hours and hours physically into this building, and many of you have as well, it's not fulfilling. You're still in the holy place and not into the holiest of holies. There has to be some incense that's burned before you can get through the veil, you see. And there are people who are frustrated because, I don't know, I just not feeling as excited as I once did. Even though I'm doing these things for God, it's not meant to be fulfilling to just work in the church. It's meant to be fulfilling our greatest occupation. My name is Jim, and I'm a worshiper. My main deal is to worship God. It's not just to be faithful to pay tithes and offering. It's not enough just to come. It's not enough just to be a greeter at the door of the house of the Lord, although all of these things are wonderful. But when I feel the presence of God like I felt this morning as we worship God, I'm saying, God, I don't need any kind of ministry. All I want to do is worship you, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We're going to continue to make noise. We're going to continue to shout. I'm going to continue to dance before the Lord. Because that's what brings the presence of God to this house and to this sanctuary. The altar's open. Would you come?